A new approach to figuring out who is at risk for being swindled or hacked. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, in part because of the U.S.-China trade war, economists at the U.N. have revised their estimates for global growth downward to just 2.7% this year. What is a portfolio manager to do, given it's so tough to see where this trade war is going? On Wednesdays, we consult Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, normally in Chicago, but today with me here in the New York Bureau. Good to see you.
Good morning.
All right. You know, a couple schools of thought on all of this trade war business. If you're running a portfolio, you could, I am fleeing China. I am getting out of the currency. Or you could sit tight. I mean, which camp are you in?
Well, I prefer to sit tight. We just don't know. So this is a prolonged discussion that is going to have ups and downs, and I really don't see any clarity on it. Markets hate uncertainty. Some are choosing to flee. I'm choosing to wait it out.
You worried about maybe a recession because of this trade war soon?
Interestingly, I just met with a bunch of bank presidents from small and regional banks throughout the country, and they feel that the underlying economy in their towns is strong. So I'm not incredibly worried about a recession because I think the underlying economy in the U.S. is holding up fairly well.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors. Always good to talk to you.
Likewise.
The Federal Aviation Administration has convened a meeting tomorrow in Texas of air safety regulators from around the world. This as Boeing readies changes to get its 737 MAX 8 airplanes back into the air after two fatal crashes. The European Union's regulator will be there, but they're laying down the line. Here's Jonty Bloom, the BBC business correspondent.
What they're basically saying is not only do they want to see the books, as it were, and check what Boeing's doing, but they're going to put their own tests on this aircraft before they let it fly again. Now, that's not unheard of, but it is pretty normal for the European and American regulators and safety organizations to trust each other. Now, in this case, there's a lot of skepticism about the FAA and its relationship with Boeing.
That's the trouble when trust erodes. Now, do you think this tension is isolated to this particular 737 model, the MAX 8, or do you get the sense that European regulators are raising their profile perhaps further?
I think it's not just related to this aircraft, but this is the one that's brought it to the fore. And what the Europeans are really worried about is not the specifics of this case, perhaps, but what's called regulatory capture, which is when the regulator is small relative to, say, one large company which dominates an industry and over time develops too close a relationship with that company. So, for instance, Boeing does quite a lot of its own testing, and that testing is then approved by the FAA. In Europe, that really wouldn't happen. The regulator would do their own testing and wouldn't take the company's word for it so much. So I think their worry has been that they want to be convinced that the Americans are taking testing and safety as seriously as they do.
BBC business correspondent Jonty Bloom speaking from London. Jonty, thanks.
A pleasure, David.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in the middle of our project called Brains and Losses, the bottom line on aging and financial vulnerability. Data out of New York found that as few as 1 in 44 cases of elder financial exploitation are ever reported to authorities, in part out of shame. This makes studying who is especially susceptible tough for researchers. But there's a novel approach in Florida where older people agree to be studied and researchers act like scammers. They sneak fake emails and other sketchy messages onto test subjects' computers to see who bites. The term is phishing with a PH at the beginning, sending innocuous-seeming messages that trigger scams and hacks. Part of that University of Florida research team is Natalie Ebner, a professor of psychology.
What we did is we simulated phishing attacks and sent those to our study participants, unbeknownst to them. And what we see in that study is that an almost majority of our sample, 43%, fell for those phishing emails. This included young and older adults, but it was especially the older women who showed a particular vulnerability.
In my introduction, I asserted that it's tough to find scam victims to study for researchers, but is it true?
Yes, and I would agree that's particularly true in the elderly. Our approach has a bit of this advantage that we actually don't need participants to be previously scammed. By our simulation, we can basically see on the spot, would they fall for something if this occurred in real life? So we don't necessarily need for our research to have individuals who have previously fallen for attacks.
You imagine like fancier spam filters that might help older people protect themselves or ways that if an older adult agrees to let a trusted loved one help them with their day-to-day finances, maybe there's some tech approach there that might facilitate that.
Yes, so this is exactly one of the big goals for our research project. It's really coming up with a tool that an individual computer user can basically just implement on their computers and use on a daily basis to be warned, what we call on-the-spot warning. So this whole research I'm doing together with my collaborator here at University of Florida, Daniela Oliveira. So our idea is to use profile information about the computer user, combine this with information we have about fraud indicators in emails, and combine this in a tool which we plan to call Merlin. So this is under development at the moment. It's going to be the little advisor to the king, the computer user. And then these informations are being combined and generated into a warning if it surpasses a certain threshold.
Natalie Ebner is a professor in the Department of Psychology and the Department of Aging and Geriatric Research at the University of Florida. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
So Merlin, maybe in a couple of years, she says. Another possible marker for those susceptible to scams, what researchers call low affect, people feeling not depressed necessarily, but those seeming withdrawn or having a bad day, were more likely to click on the sketchy messages. Listen for our one-hour special about age-related financial vulnerability in the coming days on many public radio stations nationwide. Marketplace.org has resources. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.